Great singing, ladies. Let's stand briefly if you are able. Let's turn back to Psalm 128. We'll read that again. We've been talking about the family primarily these first few weeks about marriage. This will be the last Sunday night we talk about specifically about marriage. We'll talk a little more about family for a couple more weeks. Psalm chapter 128, of course, Psalm chapter 127, verse 1, as we've mentioned, really is the key to everything. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build the builder, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Psalm 128 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. If you fear the Lord and you walk in his ways, he's talking about. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you again for this services this evening. Pray you'd bless us as we take a look at marriage for a few minutes here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, it's interesting as we read this psalm how it talks about if we fear the Lord and we walk in his ways that we'll have a good marriage. He talked about the wife. It'll go down to our children. And he even mentions here at the end, thy children's children. What are those? Grandchildren. And what are grandchildren? Grandchildren are a reward for putting up with your regular children. Okay? Grandchildren are great. Not that my children aren't great. Well, let's say grandchildren are greater. How about we say that, all right? But family. It's never too late for happily ever after. I think family ought to be one of the most blessed things in your life. I think it is. I love being married. I don't know if my wife feels that way, but I do. We have seven children. I love every single one of them. I'm glad I had that many. And I love Grant. I love the whole thing. And the way it works now, I love having in-laws. You know, not, well, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, I love them. We get along great. But I'm talking about those that have married into our family, and they're a part of our family, and the children, they all love being around our house. And I like that. That's what I always wanted. I used to say, you know, listen, when you know, I want them to get married, and I want them to always be around here. And, you know, if you want, just come drop the grandchildren off. If you want to leave them here and you go, just do it. And we kind of have that. They'll come over and hang out. I love that. It's one of the greatest things other than serving the Lord in church that you can have. And you say, well, I feel like I don't have that. Well, maybe it's because we're not following God's ways. Because he says if we fear the Lord and we follow his ways, we can have that. Now, by the way, it is a struggle, and it's a bit of a we have to get after it type of thing, but we can have that today. Don't let the world tell you that you can't. We looked at many things. This is really part two of last week. We're understanding each other's needs and understanding the needs of marriage. And the first week, last week we talked about two things: understanding the two big needs. That is in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. Says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and see that the wife reverence her husband. Here are the two greatest needs mentioned. What is it? Husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect or reverence your husband. Those are the two big needs. Now, if God told us that, what he needs is, if he's telling us to love our wives, what that means is wives need love. If he's telling the ladies to respect their husbands, what that means is husbands need respect. So God told us that. What happens in a marriage, if a man is not loving his wife, she has a trouble respecting him. If a woman is not respecting her husband, he's going to have trouble loving his wife. And I'm not saying that's right. Hold out. Well, I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying it's kind of a vicious cycle if we're not careful. So those are the two greatest needs. Last week, we talked about the basic needs that most ladies have. Basic needs. We went through all those, and we won't go through those again. Now, tonight, I want us to look at the basic needs of a man. Ladies, we got on the guys. We didn't get on the guys, okay? You got on the guys last week. I'm not getting on the guys. It's teaching time, okay? You feel I'm getting on you, maybe it's because you kind of were having struggling in some of those areas. For the ladies, we mentioned that a husband needs to be the spiritual leader. That's what a lady wants. She wants to know that he needs her. She wants to know that he delights in her. He wants to know that you're watching out for her. She needs you to spend time alone with her. She wants you to be aware of her presence and invest in her. Now, ladies, tonight we're going to look at what the husband needs. May not be, and when we mention these are generalities, and they may not be to the same extent for everybody, but basically these are basic needs. Remember, marriage isn't what you get out of it, marriage is what you put into it. If you go into a marriage, say, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, most people go, well, why did you want to marry that person? And they'll list reasons why, and all those reasons have to do with self, what they bring to the table for me. It's not how marriage works. Marriage is what can I bring to the table for my spouse. And by the way, you know what you find out? If you come with that kind of spirit, you know what you get? You get back. See? That's a byproduct. And so, let's not be so self-serving. What does the husband need? First, several needs. First thing he needs. He needs respect for his position as a man. Now, we already mentioned his greatest need is respect. By the way, let me just say this. Manhood is under attack. It is. By the way, ladies, don't attack your little boy's manhood. Oh, my little so-and-so fell down and scraped his knee, you know. He needs to be laid up for a week. No, he needs to put a little dirt in it, get up, and keep doing what he's doing. Okay? You know, we baby kids too much. I remember last year, I think it was last year, Emily was out here and she jumped off the playground and she did it around noon, and she said her ankle hurt a little bit. It was no big deal, and she was doing okay. But as the day went on, she was getting a little worse. And so after work, Jessica came to my office and said, you know, Emily's whining about her ankle. I mean, she hurt it at lunch, and she was fine, and now she's whining about it. I said, I'll take care of it. Like, Emily, come here. Like, let's take a look at that ankle. If it hurts so much, and I thought she was just being a little bit of a drama, I said, come here. Sometimes parents are wrong. I put her up on the table, and I said, let's roll that sock down. I rolled that sock down, and she had a knot above her ankle. I'm like, uh-oh. I didn't say anything. Oh, hey, that's great. I said, no. I put her sock back up. I said, that's okay, hon. I said, hey, Jess, call mom and tell her she needs to take Emily to the doctor. She had a hairline fracture on her ankle, okay? Now she did all right. But see, your little boy gets a little tiny scrape, and it's like, oh. Boys act like boys. Remember we talked about we're different? If you go in a room, a little girl, unless we corrupt them, she's going to go get a little doll and like, oh, how nice. And she's going to talk to the doll, and she's going to nurture the doll. The boy's going to get a truck, and he's going to go, burr. That's what boys do. Oh, but he's dirty. Man, he needs to get dirtier. By the way, dirt doesn't kill anybody. Are you with me? Okay. In fact, some places they eat dirt. Okay. I'm not saying you eat dirt, but I'm just saying masculinity is under attack. Let me say this, ladies. Your husband needs to know that you respect him as a man. You know what the problem is, ladies? Sometimes you attack his manhood all the time, and then it comes a time when you want him to act like a man. It's like, well, why didn't he step and act like a man? He's confused. What do you want? You know, he tries to get the kids in line. Oh, you're being too mean. And then the kids are doing something. Why aren't you getting those kids under control? Tell them I'm busy. The pizza will be here later, all right? But listen, he needs you to respect his manhood. I'm not getting much help out here, guys. Thank you. Now, Here's a couple things you can do to that show that you don't respect him, even if you don't realize it. But here's what you can do. You by not letting him know what your needs are and expecting him to still meet them. By the way, ladies, let me just say something. We are not mind readers. We love you to pieces, and we want to help you. But why didn't you? I didn't know that's what you wanted. Like, what, am I supposed to be clairvoyant? Oh, wait a minute. That's what you... No. Send us an email, a text, or something. Help us out. Okay? Thank you, Robert. I got one guy with me. Help us. Don't make us figure it out. You say, now, guys, I'll tell you what. You try to read between the lines and see what she needs. But, brother, sometimes it's hard to read between the lines because the text is really small. Help us out. Tell us what you need. Why didn't you do that? I'm like... I didn't know that's what you wanted. I'm sorry. Okay? Help a brother out. Ladies, as beautiful as you are, as wonderful as you are, you're kind of hard to understand sometimes. You heard about the book the guy wrote, How to Understand Women. It was like 500 pages long, and they're all blank. You can't. Especially because we're men. By the way, you guys, I like hanging around with girls because I connect with them. You got issues. You got issues. Let us know. Help us out. I dropped hints and he didn't get it. Sometimes we're dense. Hit us with a brick and tell us. Minus the brick part. Here's another thing that eats away at his respect. Act like you don't need him. I hate to say it. We're a little vain sometimes. We want to be needed. We want to know that, you know, without you, I'd be nothing. We know it's a lie. That's serious. Come on, we know that's a lie. Just tell us anyhow. I need, you know, I just, can you help me with this? Now, if it's cooking, the answer is no. But we want to be needed. Self-sufficiency will kill the closeness in your relationship. See, remember, it's not a, if you, you're over here and you're doing your thing, and he's over here and he's doing this thing. You're not married, you're roommates. You're roommates. The Bible tells us, and we looked at the very first week, we're to be one. One means you bring what you bring yours, what you have into our relationship, and I bring what I have, and we mesh together. That's needing each other. What did God tell Adam? He said, he's over here naming all the animals, and there's one of each, and it's like, I wonder how long it took Adam before he figured out, like, wait a minute, now there's two of them, they're different. There's two of them, and there's only one of me. What's this all about? You know, maybe he saw two pigeons fly off together, you know, and the two donkeys were holding tails. I don't know. And he's over here like, I'm all by myself. And God said that he needed a woman. It's not good that the man be alone. It wasn't complete. Okay? And when you get him and you're married and you show, I still don't need you, what are you doing? You're ripping at his manhood. Here's another thing you can do to disrespect his position as a man. You show more loyalty. You show more loyalty to an outside leader. Yeah. By the way, who my wife is supposed to respect and be loyal to? Me. No one else. Now, there's a general loyalty. I understand that. But listen, sometimes ladies, like, you know, they'll take some spiritual leader. Well, he always says this, and the pastor said this and that. Listen, he's not your boss. He's not your husband. That loyalty is respected for your husband. See, we do little things. You know, he does something. Well, so-and-so, or you always talk about your boss at work or something like that. Be very careful, okay? That loyalty is supposed to be to your husband only. That's why it says in Ephesians that a wife is supposed to be subject to her own husband. Okay? Own husband. Her husband. Not some other man. That loyalty is for him. So be very careful about that. Well, you know, the pastor said this, honey. I'm just going to follow that. No, you follow what he says. He's your husband. Don't throw that in his face, by the way. You know, by the way, let me say this. When you get married, ladies, it's your husband, not your dad. Before you're married, it's your dad. Okay? The girls in my house, I'm in charge of them. When Allison got married, she's Ryan's. And by the way, I will never, ever, I hope, and I know they haven't. If they did, it's Allison's fault, not mine. I will never want them to fight because I feel like I was driving a wedge or pushing for something. That's Ryan's responsibility. That's his authority, and I want him to take that. I'm not going to get involved. That's not going over very well. Some of you, and I know some of the cultures, like, you know, well, the parents are still the parents. No, they're not. Yes, the only influence I have in their relationship, and Ryan's done it sometimes, is he'll come like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? Then I'll open my mouth. But if Allison would ever, and she hasn't, come to me and say, you know, well, Ryan's saying this, but what do you think, Dad? I'm going to say, I think what Ryan thinks. Unless he's telling you to do drugs or something. Then I think Ryan needs to get run over, amen? Ryan's not like that. Some of you parents, be very careful. But you're not loyal. That's your husband. That's your husband. Fighting his leadership in the family. As I mentioned before, you want him to be the leader, and then you fight him on this. And let me say this, and I'm going to be real honest here. Not that I haven't been honest. Whenever you say that, it's like, I'm going to tell you the truth now. What, I've been lying for the last 30 minutes? No, I'm going to tell you. Ladies, I'll be honest with you, and there's nothing wrong with this. Sometimes your husband might lead you a certain way, and you're not happy. And husbands, that's okay. I remember when we started working full-time at the church. We had a nice house over on the east side of Long Beach. We had to give it up. We couldn't afford it. I had to work a second job at night, and we got an apartment downtown. We had to manage a property to live in there. That's the only way we could afford to work at the church. And so we're living there. After about 3 years, it was a 36 complex of 36. My wife was doing it. Great job. We had six kids at that time. When we had our sixth child, we had more than the rest of the property put together. Was a high-end place. And so they came to us and said, you know, we like you, but the owner wants to go a different direction. He wants to be a little more even upscale. He doesn't want kids. And, you know, so he fired us. Now they said, you can have, so we were looking for a house. And I don't even know why we're looking. We really didn't have the money, but we were looking for a house. And And there was a house up in North Long Beach, and I think it was a HUD repossession. And so we were dealing with the thing. My wife was looking at it, and she had me go look at it, and I went and looked at it. And she said, you know, the realtor said that, you know, if we bid this much, we'll get the house. And I wasn't comfortable with that. I wasn't even comfortable with the whole house. I remember one time I left lunch, and I was pastor. I got to go look, and I went over. The house was locked up. I broke in. You know, it was empty. And I'm just walking around the house for about 30 minutes. You know, Lord, you want us to, I just wasn't comfortable with it. I walked around the house for about 30 minutes. I'm like, I told her, I said, listen, I said, bid this, some low amount. So if they give it to us for that, that would be God, but I'm not bidding the other amount. I'll be honest, my wife, I could tell she wasn't real happy about that. She was talking, that she wasn't like, all right, if that's what you want, that's what we'll do. But I could tell, you know, you could tell, like she was thinking, what's this guy thinking, man? We can have this house. And I'm like, it's not the right house. And so she bid what I bid, what I told her to bid. And sure enough, when the bids came in, if we would have bid what the realtor said, we would have got the house. And my wife very kindly pointed that out to me when we lost the bid. And I said, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. A couple weeks later, I just was out in the area. I looked at a house somewhere else. And I got the idea. I saw a house that said for sale by owner. And I thought, you know, that's something I should look into because those are probably easier to get. So I thought, I was in the neighborhood. I said, I'm just going to drive around for a couple minutes and see if I can find any signs like that. The very first block I went on, there's a house. And it said for sale by owner. So date night, took my wife over there and said, hey, let's call them. We went in there. They were losing it in foreclosure. Long story short, we got that house for like $200,000. It was valued at over $350,000. Now it's valued at probably $560,000. See, I didn't have any money to put down. I mean, someone walked us through the whole process. Nice big house, better area. So I remember after we all worked out, we got the house. I shouldn't have done this, Brother Ross. I said, you know, honey, you remember that other house? By the way, that other house was not in a good area. It was small. It was not in a good area, and it needed a boatload of work. Like, you remember that house you wanted us to get? I told her, I said, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10,000. What is it? It was the new address of the house. I was thinking of 70-20. She goes, I know, I get it. But I'm glad she listened to me. Sometimes, look, let him be the leader in the home. That didn't go over very well. Okay, good. Submarine's taking on water, people. Trust him. Trust him. Okay, let's see. The last thing you can do to eat at his respect is take a matter into your own hands. Totally bypass him. You see, ladies, believe it or not, you need us. Believe it or not, we need you. And there'll be a time you're going to want him to step up, but he's like, well, you always take matters into your own hand. See, you understand mixed messages? And guys, well, I'll get to it later. We just don't like conflict. You're going to do that? Just do your own thing. And it's not saying that's right. So anyhow, okay, let's move on because we're unpopular tonight. All right, so the next thing he needs, and this goes along the lines, we won't spend a lot of time on it, he needs acceptance as a leader. By the way, thank him. I haven't done it in a while. I used to do that with my wife pretty regularly. Ah, remember, honey, we almost got that other house. I get it. Like, wow, thank you. When your husband steps up and does something, you ought to thank him for it. By the way, and ladies, we're not just getting on you tonight. A lot of these things would, except for the leaders, a lot of these things would apply for a husband to a wife, too. We don't thank each other. Hey, thank you for that. Well, he's supposed to do that. Thank him anyhow. Accept him as a leader. Never put them down. When you put them down, that's not the way to lift them up. Next, he needs you to be your best for him. And by the way, this is a two-way fence. It goes both ways. Let me explain how it works. You're courting each other, right? So you see her like, whoa, hey, she's looking pretty good. Sister's got it going on. And so it's like, what's her name? And you get her name. Not Hilda, thanks. And you start pursuing her. What she does, She pursues you back, but she catches you. Kind of like when you put bait on a hook. And she's got good bait. And so, you know, when you see her, she always looks nice and always is acting nice. And you're doing the same thing. What happens once you get married? Now you look like you got run over by a truck. He looks like he went through a meat grinder. You know what you're doing? You're losing respect for one another. What you're saying is, I got you. You're not as important to me as before. Now, you don't mean that. A lot of things we do, we don't mean. We don't understand. But what you're, listen, some guys, your guy, if your husband works in an office, he sees ladies that are a top notch all day. They're all, you know, they're at the office. They have their best. They got this. And then he comes home, and it's like, you know, looks like you just crawled out from under the garden. I'm not saying, you know, you need to have nice dress on 24/7. You can be comfortable about the house, but you know what I'm saying. You know, you go out to you date night and you look like date. You know, you look like you're ready to go for a 5-mile jog. Now, before, when he was chasing you, you were reeling him in, right? You know what? We still want to be reeled in, ladies, and we still want to chase you. And not with a knife in our hand, okay? Not that type of thing. But I think we ought to be our best for each other. That's your husband. By the way, ladies, if you work out of the house, I wonder what it is. If every time you go to work, you have a meeting with somebody, you look, you know, dressed to kill. And then when you come home, you look like you're dressed for him to be killed. Okay? Well, what's more important? You ought to love that guy. And guys, you too. Have some respect. By the way, guys, have some respect in the way you dress around the house. Some guys walk around there. What is that all about? Seriously? You know how, like, in the Bible, Sarah called Abraham Lord? Someone has said, I guarantee you wasn't walking around in his underwear when she said that. Okay, have a little discretion. Okay. The basketball games are starting in 10 minutes. It's going to be great. Go outside, buy some chicken sticks, and we'll have a really good time. Next, he needs a wife that doesn't nag but lovingly communicates. Nagging doesn't work. Here's how a guy works. If you tell me what to do, all of a sudden I don't want to do it. I could sit in the house and I could stare at the trash can and say, you know, no one's home. I'm sick of that. I got to take that trash out. Now, when you have teenage boys, it's just like, Jack, Josiah, whose day is it, right? But it's like, that's irritating me. I'm taking it out. My wife could say, Steve, take the trash out. I'm like, nope, I don't want to take it out. I like the trash. And I'll joke with her and say, listen, you'll never get me to do anything by telling me to do it. She'll say, fine. Steve, whatever you do, don't you dare take that trash out. I'm like, I'm taking it out right now. Okay, ladies, I just taught you how to get something from your husband. Okay, yes, you're welcome. But nagging him. Now, by the way, let me say this, guys. Because I got to get you so the ladies will listen to the rest of the message. But maybe she shouldn't have to nag you. Maybe if she's nagging you about something, it's because it's something you ought to be doing. Okay, if she mentions something 3 or 4 times, maybe that's your cue. I got to do that for her. That was free. Ladies, now listen to me. Nag. I like what Proverbs says. Proverbs is good. Ready? Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. You know, you hear that water, it's like constant, constant, constant. That's what nagging's like. You want another one? This ought to be a blessing to our hearts. Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. If you see your husband grab the ladder and go to the roof, you know this verse is true. Okay? He's like, why doesn't my husband ever want to be home? You just told me why. You just told me. It doesn't work. Learn how to communicate with your husband on things. You know, you come home and you give that guy a hug and nice kiss on the cheek and say, wow, did you have a good day? Man, by the way, you know, there's a small thing I was just wondering if you could take care of. By the way, I cooked your favorite meal. You know, is there anything you need? By the way, here you go, ladies. There's a cup of coffee waiting. Felt something there. By the way, could you take care of this for me? I don't know what it is, but I'm like a lamb to the slaughter. Where do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm going. Don't nag. Communicate. Next, he needs encouragement in any spiritual step that he takes. You see, you want your husband to be the spiritual leader. Now, going back to the other point, you're not going to get him. You're not going to get him there by nagging him. Ladies, if you were to come to church and maybe you have a husband he's not a Christian and he doesn't really, he doesn't quite understand the things of God yet. Maybe he's not coming. Going home and say, the pastor got you today. You should have been there. That doesn't work. But I'll tell you what, the first time that guy comes to church, praise him for it. Thank him for taking a step. Like I mentioned, how do you potty train children? Very easy. Okay? The first time they do anything remotely close to inside that bowl, you have a party. Do I like to see what's on the inside of a toilet bowl? I don't. Okay, seriously. Come look what... Now, all our kids, except for Jack, are potty trained. Pray for him. Jack's the one that sang with the college group, in case you don't know. Now it's a grandkid. Come see what Charlie did in the toilet. I don't care what Charlie did in the toilet. I know what it looks like. It's not a good color. But you know what they're saying? We come over there and it's like, Charlie, you did it. Yes, let's hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip, hooray. Now flush that thing. Okay? Or you could just bribe them. You know, hey, I'll buy. But you know what you do when you praise them? They smile. Like, I'm going to do this again. It's like, I ain't coming back again. One time is all you get. You praise them. Bible says, like the fire is for silver. It says in Proverbs, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it memorized. So is a man to his praise. See, like you put a precious metal under a fire and you heat it up so it liquefies and you can get the impurities out of it. You can make it better. How do you do that? Praising someone? Well, your husband, like, hey, why you're you know what? I've been convicted. I'm going to start reading my book. Oh, you're reading your book. That's great. Man, I'm so glad I have a husband that wants to listen to God. That does better than, that's about time. You want me to dust that thing off for you? Doesn't work. Encourage him. Never go home and say, don't you remember what the pastor said? Well, he did until you said that. Okay. He needs to experience a grateful spirit. I think, personally, the most attractive thing about a lady is a good spirit. Good spirit. Having a good spirit. Grateful. By the way, ladies, for better or for worse, you set the spirit in the house. You know, I'll just be honest with you, and maybe other guys aren't like this. I don't like drama. How many understand what I'm talking about? You know, listen, if the kid stabbed the neighbor kid, let me come home for a couple hours before you let me know that. I mean, he's probably at the hospital anyhow. He's being taken care of. Don't tell me when I walk in the door. I'm kidding about that. If he did stab him, you probably need to tell me that. But you come in, the first thing you do is dump, and everybody's in an uproar, and you're going crazy. Listen. We don't like drama. We want everything to work out. And by the way, there's problems that need to be taken care of. I get it. But as I mentioned before, you'll get more with a good spirit. And by the way, you guys, you have no right. You don't have no right to be a crank too. Okay? You can do the same thing. Now, ladies, for some reason, it just seems that the spirit of the house really is reflected around the lady. But guys, you come home and everybody's in a good mood and you're, I've done it. Let's clean that up. What's going on here? Life's going on here. Okay? And it's like, man, they were having a good day until dad came home and blew everything up. Ladies, grateful spirit. Okay? You ever seen, and I'm not saying it's right, because if you, whoever you married, that's God's will for you. I married the wrong one. Look at your finger. You got a ring? That's God's will. Are you with me? Okay, it's in the Bible. Run with it. Make it work. But, you know, you see this guy, and it's like he has this beautiful wife, and next thing you know, you hear that he ran off with some other woman, and she looks like she got run over by a fire truck. And it's like, wait a minute. He had Miss America. Now he has whatever. Say, what happened? She probably Oh, you're wonderful. Now, when he gets married, he'll find out that that ain't going to fly. But anyhow, you know, you're so wonderful. Oh, you're so kind. You're this, that, or spirit. Spirit. Let's have a good spirit. And by the way, don't expect perfection. Yeah, you're flying off. Didn't you hear what the... Stop it. A little bit of slack. No one's perfect 24 hours a day. Let me say this, ladies. Oh, I'm sorry. The last thing is, he wants a wife that he can praise for her godly characteristics. Look at we've looked at many verses in Proverbs, particularly on Thursdays. Proverbs 31:28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to be your best, just love God. No, we say that's not the most important thing. Beauty comes and goes. But if you love the Lord, you have godly characteristics. By the way, we want, as men, and maybe it's just something we're born, we want to be proud of our wives. That's my wife. By the way, everybody has one. Okay? And give him characteristics, particularly inward characteristics. Now, we said you ought to look your best, and you ought to look your best. But more than that, be a godly lady. Be a godly lady. Okay? That's what he wants more than anything. Ladies, if I were to let you in on a little secret, unless your husband is just a real schnook, we're pretty easy to manipulate. I'm going to let you in on it. I'm serious. Look, if I ever come home, first thing you walk the door, wife sees, nice hug, kissing the cheek. My, your hair looks thick today. Wow, you've been working out. Look at those muscles. You're going to rip the shirt. Oh, sit right here. Take it easy. Dinner's almost ready. I cooked your favorite. You know what I'm thinking? Go get whatever you want. I got the kids, and I muzzled all of them. The smaller ones are locked in the closet. Oh, you want to watch football tonight? We'll leave you alone. I'll even get you some snacks. Listen, it's like, baby, you don't even need clothes, but go get some. Get whatever you want. You know what? We say you're vain. I know. Pray for us. But you know what we just like? We like that spirit. We don't like the drama. We like to be appreciated. And so we'll stop there for tonight. Let's pray. Let's all stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed.